On this day, 80 years ago, over 156,000 men landed on the beaches of Normandy. D-Day, the largest seaborne invasion in history and one of the most significant events in World War II, marking a turning point in the fight against Nazi Germany. Today, President Joe Biden and other world leaders join French President Emmanuel Macron to mark this event with surviving veterans. And while Ireland was neutral in World War II, there were more than 100,000 Irish-born soldiers north and south in the British Army. Miles Dungan from the Radio 1 History Show joins me now to talk about those Irish lads and about the Royal Ulster Rifles. And we'll also remember Maureen Flavin Sweeney, the lady in the lighthouse in Black Sod in Mayo, who played a vital role on that historic day. But Miles, good morning to you. Will you tell us about the Royal Ulster Rifles and their role on D-Day?
Well, they were unique in that they were the only regiment which had both of its service battalions going into action on that day. That's because although most of the invasion force went in by ship and by landing craft, some went in by air, via parachute or, in fact, by glider. And as it happened, the first battalion of the Rifles had been converted into a glider-borne unit. So while the second battalion went in over the beaches, the members of the first battalion were towed in their gliders across the English Channel, and then they were set adrift behind the German lines, close to their target, which was a little place called Sainte-Honorine, about 10 kilometres inland, as part of something called Operation Mallard, which complemented Operation Overlord. And I interviewed a member of that unit, a Gawim and Paddy Devlin, for a radio series, Distant Drums, in the 80s. And he recalled to me the noise of what sounded like hailstones banging against his glider as they came in. But of course, when he landed, he realized that it had been a hail of bullets rather than frozen water. And he also told me the first thing the members of the unit did when they landed, rather than take up defensive positions, was to indulge in a communal pee. And he also recalled being approached by a very exuberant and drunk Frenchman who had obviously been told that his liberators were Irish, and he was chanting "Vive Devalera, Vive Irlande!" And things got serious after that when the first RUR tried to take Sainte-Honorine. It had been rapidly reinforced, and they lost 150 men killed or wounded.
Incredibly vivid memories there from that gentleman. What about the other battalion of the Ulster Rifles?
Yeah, the 2nd Battalion, they had actually been in France from September 1939, and they were evacuated from Dunkirk in 1940, but they had a less fraught experience on D-Day. They came ashore on the beach that was codenamed Sword, and they didn't encounter that much resistance. Their casualties mainly came from shelling of the beach by German artillery. Later on, they played a major role in something called Operation Charmwood, which isn't as charming as it sounds. It was the British assault on the Normandy town of Caen. That happened a month after D-Day, but the expectation had been that they were going to take Caen on the 6th of June or very shortly thereafter. But it was a lot tougher than that. And the 2nd Battalion of the Ulster Rifles was one of the first British Army units that actually succeeded in getting into the town and shifting the Germans.
So many Irishmen involved, but there was one very well-known Irishman, or an Irishman who went on to be extremely well-known, involved in the planning of the invasion. And he, of course, went on to lead the Olympic movement.
Yeah, Lord Callanan, later on president of the International Olympic Committee. He was on the staff of the 30th Armoured Brigade. And he was, believe it or not, something called a bigot. Now, that was the rather odd word that they used to describe anyone who was privy to the D-Day plans. And Callanan told me that he had a detailed awareness of what was going to happen on the 6th of June, 1944. But, believe it or not, he was still allowed to come back to Ireland on leave a fortnight before the invasion. And he was quite surprised that he was allowed to return to a neutral Ireland, where he could have spilled the beans on the entire operation. Now, obviously, he would have got the date wrong. 5th of June, not the 6th of June. His wife was also involved, Sheila Dunlop, Lady Callanan. She was in Bletchley, codebreaker. She knew the invasion was due to take place and remembered the boss looking anxiously out the window at the awful weather on the 5th of June, wondering was anything going to happen. And of course, famously, thanks to Maureen Sweeney in Blacksod Bay, nothing did happen that day.
Miles, it's good to talk to you, and you have nicely segued to my next item. You mentioned Black Sod there and weatherwoman Maureen Flavin Sweeney, and her weather forecast changed the timing of the D-Day landings during World War II. She was only 21 when she forecast an impending storm from Black Sod Lighthouse. That was, of course, in 1944. Her readings gave the Allies a two-day warning of stormy conditions in Western Europe, forcing General Dwight D. Eisenhower to delay his planned invasion of Normandy. And at 1 o'clock on the 3rd of June 1944, she first forecast a severe Atlantic storm, which led to a change of plan by the Allied forces. D-Day postponed to the 6th of June. She spoke to RT Nationwide about her memories of those days.
The first change in the weather, either for good or bad, our report showed it. So that put us on the alert.
You were obviously in a very significant position out
here. Yeah, we were. Extreme west, of course. Takes Parrish to America. That report, it was on the 3rd of June it was sent from here. And it went. And on the 4th of June, there was a query in the morning about 11 o'clock. I don't know who took the first query, but I know I took the second query. And it was then we began to look up. Down at the figures. So we checked and rechecked. And the figures were the same both times, so we were happy enough then. They wanted calm weather, they wanted good visibility, and a relatively calm sea. So they could arrange everything but the weather.
And there'll be a D-Day commemoration event taking place at Black Sod Lighthouse in County Mayo today in honour of Maureen, hopefully as well, weather permitting, there'll be an Air Corps flyover. Her grandson is documentary maker and freelance cameraman Fergus Sweeney. He's on the line from Black Sod. Thanks for joining us, Fergus. What a woman, and to think she was only 21, checking and rechecking and saying, yes, my data is sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible story, you know, that the kind of, you know, somebody working in a post office in Black Sod and their weather readings would influence D-Day in the way that they did, and, you know, ensure that the Allies, when they did go ashore in France, that their, you know, the operation succeeded. So, yeah, it's quite the story, I guess.
It certainly is. When did she know that her weather information had played such a key role?
She didn't actually find out until 1956, and that would have been when Met Éireann established a new weather station in Belmullet. So the one in Black Sod was going to be closed down, and some of the staff from Dublin had come to remove equipment, relocate it, and when they did, that's when they informed Ted and Maureen that their readings were the crucial ones for D-Day.
And as we know, at the age of 98, the US House of Representatives did honour her for her contribution to that part of the war. And she died in December 2023. But what did she tell you about those events?
So I suppose that she always remarked on, and you know, your listeners would have heard it there in the audio you played, about the phone calls they received to check the numbers, check your numbers and repeat your readings, you know. And there would have been three phone calls in total. And I suppose at the time, Maureen maybe suspected that possibly she'd made a mistake. Somebody was checking up on her. What was the reason for this? You know, so those phone calls had always stuck out, you know, stood out in her mind. It wasn't something that happened every morning when they sent off their data, once they sent their readings. So that always stayed with them, you know. And I guess then, obviously, once she realised what these readings were, you know, what they had been used for, she was immensely proud of that fact. And, you know, very much in her later life, she realised the significance of them and what they contributed to.
And I'm sure you were all immensely proud of her. Thank you very much indeed, Fergus, for joining us, and enjoy the commemoration events in Black Sod today.